And where is your treasure? What are the things that you value? What are the things that you are all for? What do you love? David Livingstone was a 19th century missionary to Africa. He was originally from Scotland, and he was passionate about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the African continent. And it required dangerous exploration into unknown lands. But he went. In fact, he said, "As for me, I am determined to open up Africa for the gospel or perish." As he went, he provided medical care for the people that he met as he taught them about Jesus. And on his 59th birthday, he recorded these words in his journal. "My birthday, my Jesus, my King, my life, my all. I again dedicate my whole self to thee." Who was his treasure? Jesus. And what did he value? Winning souls for Jesus in Africa. In 1873, he died of an illness and his body was taken back to the UK. And an interesting, very symbolic turn of events occurred. See, in order to embalm and transport his body on a journey that would take 9 months, his primary internal organs, including his heart, were removed and buried in African soil. His body would rest at Westminster Abbey, but his heart remained in Africa. And Jesus' words were never truer. "For where your treasure is, that is where your heart is." You know, where is your treasure? This is the question that Jesus asks of us tonight from this passage. What is the thing, you know, think about this for a moment. What is the thing, if you lost it, you will be left feeling so empty that you would want to die? What is the thing that you value more than anything? What or who do you love? And in many ways, this is the big question that's presented to us in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus begins back there in chapter 5 by setting out the characteristics of someone who is truly devoted to Jesus in the Beatitudes. We're told that they will be humble in spirit, mournful over sin, that they will be meek, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that they will be merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers. No, it's the posture of a humble life. It's the power of a humble life. And Jesus says this will particularly show in the way that we love. We must genuinely love others. Chapter 5 tells us that we're not just to pretend that we love others, as the hypocrites do. It will also show, chapter 6, in the way that we genuinely love God. So we give and pray and fast, not to impress others, but out of devotion to our Heavenly Father. Now, you might think, by the end of verse 18 of chapter 6, "Now, Jesus, you've made your point. We need to love God." But he's not satisfied. He's greedy. He wants more. You see, Jesus doesn't just want our devotion. He wants 100% devotion. And as we launch our vision this Sunday, this seems an appropriate passage. Yes, Jesus says, God wants our heart. He wants us to love him, but he wants all of our heart. He wants all of our devotion. He wants us as a church, as individuals, to be all for Jesus. And Jesus gives us here three pictures, three pairs, and he says that we have to choose one or the other. Two treasures. Treasures on earth or treasures in heaven. Two perspectives. A bad eye or a good eye? Two masters, serving money or serving God? And it's very interesting, actually. You know, see, as I reflected on this, you know, I'd like to think that we could end up somewhere in the middle with each of these. But Jesus says, no, it's binary. We can have one or the other. but there's no in between. He's saying our calling is to be all for Jesus. So let's have a look at this passage together. And I've got three questions for us this evening, beginning with this one. Where is your treasure? Verse 19 and 20. And Jesus here gives us a very plain choice. We can either invest our time and energy in building up treasure on earth, or we can invest our time and energy in building up treasure in heaven, in the new creation. And in the parable of the rich fool, you remember that story, Jesus gives us the same challenge. And Jesus tells us how this man is very successful in life. So he tears down his barn and he builds a bigger barn. And to fill it with all his grains and goods. And then he says to himself, I've made it. Now I have plenty of grain laid up for many years. I'll take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. There is my pension. But God says to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. See, this fellow, he valued the things of this earth and forgot about the fact that he would soon be facing eternity. See, our choices have eternal implications. He prepared well for life on earth, but neglected to plan for that which was infinitely more important, life in heaven. And Jesus, in these verses, is warning all of us of making the same silly mistake. Verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He's saying, don't give yourself to things that will break, but to things that will last. You're on your deathbed. You're not going to lay there thinking, oh, I wish I'd spent more time in the office. It's been a hard old week, actually. I had a phone call from my father this week to say that he'd been diagnosed with cancer. He'd had the biopsy, and then the doctor had called him. He had to go in, and he'd been given the news. And he was very anxious on the phone, which made me very anxious. It's quite a moment, isn't it, to be told that you have cancer? It's quite a moment to be told by someone who you love that they have cancer. You look around at the people you love and you think, where do I want to invest? You know, Jesus kind of knew what he was talking about when he said, you know, love people and love God as a way of investing for the future. You know, my bank balance, my investments, my property, my car, my career, my ambitions, really, what are they worth? Instead, Jesus says, verse 20, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wealth in Jesus' day was just the same as today, measured by the things that we have. But as Jesus points out, everything we own in this life is temporary. We can't take it with us. It will spoil or fail or ruin. And we do have to be clear here what Jesus is saying. He's not forbidding us having money. He's not actually speaking against the amount of money we have. But he's talking about the way that we use it. Several years ago, construction workers were laying a foundation for a building just outside the city of Pompeii, and they came across the corpse of a woman who must have been fleeing from the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, but was caught in the rain of hot ashes. And the woman's hand still clutched her jewels, which were preserved in excellent condition. She had the jewels, but death had stolen it all. Jesus is saying here that worldly treasure is not a wise investment because you can't take it with you. It simply will not last. One author said, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And how do you send it on ahead? Well, by investing it in all that will last for eternity, by realizing that everything we have is God's anyway. You see, the money in our pockets is God's money. By using our time and our energy and our gifts to serve Jesus. By being all for Jesus. See, look, this is an important word for us this evening. particularly as we come to commit ourselves as a family to be all for Jesus, because each and every single one of us are so good at naturally building up treasure on earth. But Jesus says here, and there is a warning for all of us, for where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Jesus says that our whole lives will follow whatever it is that is our treasure. Whatever absorbs our attention will shape our entire lives. So he's saying to us, choose carefully what we treasure, because it will shape our heart in ways we can't even imagine. Our heart, you see, will always follow what we do with our money. It will follow what we treasure. It's why I'm always concerned when I come across people who are not serving, who are not giving. You see, I fear when people are not giving and they are using their money elsewhere, that they are being led away, inadvertently even, from Jesus. That they love other things, their leisure time, their investment portfolio, themselves, more than Jesus. Other things are at the center of their lives. I came across this quote from the old preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, which I think is superb. I do not cling to these things. They do not become the center of my life and existence. I do not live for them or dwell upon them constantly in my mind. They do not absorb my life. On the contrary, I hold them loosely. I am not governed by them. Rather, do I govern them. And as I do this, I am steadily securing and safely laying up for myself treasures in heaven. So you have to choose what you treasure. Where is your treasure? Let me also ask you another question. How is your vision? Do you have a good eye or a bad eye? And it's a choice again. These verses, verse 22 and 23, are actually driving at the same thing. See, gathering up riches here on earth distorts our vision, causing us not to see God properly. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, they see clearly. Your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, the vision isn't clear, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now, it's time to admit that my eyes are beginning to deteriorate. I was standing in prayer just a while back, and I was sort of choosing with Naomi. We were standing together, and I was sort of, well, shall I have the egg sandwich, or I quite fancy the salmon one? What do you think? And I turned to her, and I realized I was speaking to the wrong woman. Now, I can stand here and I can just about see the words on the screen, but if you're standing by that door and looking at me, I can see us, but I can't see your face. So don't be offended if you start walking towards me and I don't immediately call you out and call you by name. And the other day, I realized that my eyes were getting so bad, I was in Specsavers of all places, but there we are. And I thought I'd just try on a pair of glasses, and just for the fun of it. And I put them on, and the first pair that I put on, I could barely see a thing. My eyes were so badly distorted, I was almost blinded. And Jesus is saying here that the things of this world, whether it be money or popularity or the need to get married, everywhere around us, you see, there are things that take our eyes off Jesus, take our eyes off the future with Jesus. And again, Jesus is not saying that any of this is wrong, that money is wrong, that the desire to get married, to be successful in your studies, in your career, he's not saying they're wrong. Rather, he's saying that you need to keep your focus on what matters. Verse 21, your eye remains healthy, then your whole body, all that you do will be full of light. It will be full of Jesus, who is the light of the world. It will bring perspective. By keeping our eyes on Jesus, it will help us to prioritize things and entrust things to Jesus that at times are hard. So how is your vision? One author writes, do you see spiritual things clearly, or is your vision of God and his will for your life clouded by spiritual cataracts or nearsightedness, brought on by an unhealthy preoccupation with things I am convinced that this is true for many Christians, particularly those living in the midst of Western affluence. It's a poignant quote. The eye, you see, that is full of light is a life lived by faith and the eternal promises of God. It is a life lived by faith in the truth that one day we will be with Jesus. The end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. But when we focus on earthly, temporal things, our sight is all blurred and messed up, and it leads to darkness. So where is your treasure? How is your vision? And who are you serving? It's one or the other. There is no in between. Do you serve God or do you serve money? And this verse, in fact, is the climax, in many ways, of the Sermon on the Mount. It's asking this most important of questions. Who are you serving? Who or what has your heart? See, people often think that they can have the best of both worlds. Both here on earth, enjoying themselves and with riches and living it up, and later down the road in the future, enjoying God for eternity. But in this passage, Jesus is stark. Look again at verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus is telling us here categorically that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve money and God. We cannot serve popularity and God. We cannot serve our families and God. We cannot serve ourselves and God. We can have only one master. And Jesus is once again challenging us to look at the whole of the Sermon on the Mount, challenging us to repent, to change our minds about earthly treasures, about the things we formerly served, and to serve him only, and to hold these other things loosely. Now, who do we serve? See, that is what is presented before us. That is the challenge, to be all for Jesus, because he is all for us. See, if we as a church embrace this, to be all for Jesus, what is God calling us to? God is calling us to a life of radical service to him as our master. It's the calling to step out in faith, to make sacrifices, to give away our time, our energy, our money, our life. And as we saw last week, God is our Father and we are his children, and God will take care of us and provide for every single one of our needs. See, what is God calling us to? It is to take up our cross and to follow him. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? To be all for Jesus is a radical calling. Are we ready for that as a church? It is to give ourselves completely and to place our complete trust in Jesus and to follow him. He's been willing to lay down our lives for Jesus and the gospel, and it will mean making sacrifices that genuinely cost. It will agitate Satan, and we will feel the heat of his fury. It will mean wrestling with our sin. It will mean going the extra mile with people. It will mean giving away the things that are most precious to us. It means saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done, as Jesus did when he gave his all. But as Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And we come shortly to sign our name on this board as our commitment as a church to be all for Jesus. And this is our opportunity to make our commitment collectively. And as we do so, let us echo those words of David Livingstone. My Jesus, my King, my life, my all. We dedicate our whole self. We dedicate our church to Jesus. All for Jesus, because he is all for us. Amen. Well, as we prepare our hearts, would you join me for a short prayer? Father, we thank you so very much for the love that you have for your church. We thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came willingly and that he gave his all, he gave his life. Father, I pray that we would respond appropriately to be all for Jesus. In your holy name, amen.